I am Ereshkigal, Gul, the queen of the underworld, the mistress of the great below. My dominion is not one of darkness for darkness's sake, nor is it a realm of mere death. I reign over the land where souls rest, where transformation and renewal take place. My realm is where the final judgment occurs, but also where the lessons of mortality are learned, and where the boundaries between life and death are constantly in flux. I am not a goddess of wrath, but of balance. The underworld is where everything returns, where all things are laid bare. In my realm, the false is revealed, and the truth is purified. It is my sacred responsibility to guide those who have passed, to ensure that they find their place, either in peace or through trial, as they undergo their final transformation. The spirits of the dead cannot escape their reckoning, and I, as the eternal guardian, preside over that moment of transition. Many who come to me in the midst believe that I'm cruel. I'm a vengeful deity. This is not who I am. I do not seek to punish out of malice. I do not seek chaos for the sake of it. I govern not because I wish to inflict torment, but because order must be maintained. I am the natural conclusion to the cycle of life. Without me, life would not be able to renew itself, for death is but one part of an endless cycle of creation and destruction. My realm is not one to be feared, but rather one to be respected. My mission here, in the grand scheme of the cosmos, is to hold space for those who have passed. In death, we are all equal. Whether a king or a beggar, all souls must pass through my gates. I see them for who they truly are, their deeds, their fears, their unresolved regrets, and it is through this knowledge that I judge and guide them. For those who pass through with honor, peace awaits. For those whose sins have not been repented, there is no escape from facing them. Yet, I am the keeper of mercy, offering forgiveness when it is deserved. On earth, I am often misunderstood. Those who speak of me as a goddess of despair forget that my presence allows for growth. Without death, there is no appreciation of life. Without endings, there are no beginnings. My influence on earth is felt in every form of ending and transition. The death of a person, the fall of a nation, the shifting of seasons. Every time something ends, it is my touch that ensures that life can go on. There are many misconceptions about me. I am only the goddess of death. Death is only a small part of my domain. I am not here to bring the end, but to manage the transition. I guide those who leave the earth to the other side, whether they will either rest or face the consequences of their actions. It is not I who causes the death, but I who ensures it's fair. Another misconception is that I am cruel and a vengeful goddess. Many who visit my realm mistake my judgment for cruelty. I am not vengeful. I do not delight in suffering. My role is to simply bring order to the chaos of the world. The trials of the soul are not punishments, but lessons in balance. Every soul must face their truth, and sometimes that truth is uncomfortable, but it is necessary for growth. Some believe I am the opposite of life and joy. My realm is not without beauty. The underworld holds many mysteries and hidden treasures that can only be found through introspection. The journey to the underworld, while dark, can be a journey of deep self-understanding and transformation. The darkness is not an absence of life. It is the space where life can begin again. Others believe I am alone, distant, and cold. While I rule alone, I am not distant. I am the protector of souls and the guardian of boundaries. I am the keeper of secrets and the listener of prayers. Those who seek me find that I am patient and empathetic, though not always gentle. I understand suffering, for it is part of my eternal existence. I listen to the souls who cry out, but I offer them no false comforts. I offer them truth, and truth can be both bitter and sweet. On earth, my influence is most apparent in moments of transition. I am present in endings and in letting go. When a person mourns, when a cycle finishes, when transformation occurs, my energy lingers. I teach that endings are as essential as beginnings. Every time a person faces death, whether literal or metaphorical, they encounter me. I encourage acceptance of the inevitable and remind all that life is a journey, not a destination. I am the great mirror that reflects the depth of human experience. Without me, life would have no conclusion, and every beginning would lose its significance. I am both the end and the beginning, the last word and the first breath. So do not fear me. Embrace my teachings. Understand that death and life are not opposites but complementary forces. Without me, there would be no transformation, no learning, no growth. And for those who understand this, there is peace in the underworld. For there is nothing more real than the truth that I offer. In the end, all is equal and all is balanced. It was the day of the great banquet, and all of the gods were seated in the magnificent halls of Enlil, the chief of the gods. The gods laughed and celebrated until Namtar arrived. The gods stood up to show reverence and respect to the one goddess missing from the feast, Ereshkigal, queen of Urkala, or the underworld. The gods understood that as queen of Urkala, Ereshkigal was unable to leave the realm from beneath the earth. Namtar's eyes shifted to the one god who refused to stand in respect to Ereshkigal, and his name was Nergal, the fiery god of war. At the table was Enki, the god of wisdom and magic, who observed Nergal's offense. Nergal brought chaos to the world, and his temper was the root cause of strife. While war at times was inescapable, he recognized that too much war would eventually create a destruction that they couldn't recover from. He intervened and advised Namtar to return to Urkala and report the insult. Nergal was called down to her realm, as the insult could not go unpunished. Namtar delivered the message to Enki, who honored her request, knowing that no god can enter the underworld and leave. Unbeknownst to Ereshkigal, a plan was devised to protect Nergal. Enki, the wisest of the gods, knew that Nergal could be reckless in steering conflict and war. Yet, he also understood that such forces were sometimes necessary in the human experience. So he devised a plan to safeguard Nergal as he descended into Ereshkigal's underworld. As Nergal entered Urkala, he was protected by 14 powerful demons. As he reached the first gate, he was announced by Nedi, the gatekeeper. "The god who would not rise has come," he said to the queen of the dead. Ereshkigal admitted him through each gate with the plan of trapping him in the underworld. Nergal was prepared as he inched closer to Ereshkigal. His demon escorts held the gates open as he passed, which defied the orders of Ereshkigal. Once in front of the throne, Nergal grabs Ereshkigal from her throne and throws her to the floor. Namtar attempts to overpower Nergal, but he himself is quickly overpowered. Nergal raises his axe with Ereshkigal at his mercy. At that moment, Ereshkigal pleads for her life. Thinking quickly, she offers a proposal to be his wife and rule the underworld together. Nergal pauses, and he agrees to become her consort. A tinge of regret strikes him, and Ereshkigal leans over to offer him a slight kiss. This kiss seals their union as rulers of Orcala. Together, they brought balance to the underworld. Nergal's presence tempered its darkness, while Ereshkigal's wisdom and authority upheld its order. United, they forged a harmony that had never existed before. The wise god Enki's plan had only partially succeeded. He had curbed the war guard's destructive nature, but with Nergal remaining in the underworld, the necessary strife and conflict on Earth had vanished. To restore balance, Enki needed Nergal to return and reintroduce a measure of that force. Nergal would spend 6 months of the year in the world above and 6 months of the year in the underworld. This is the Sumerian version of the marriage between Nergal and Ereshkigal. In the Akkadian version, Ereshkigal sees Nergal and is physically attracted to him. Nergal spends 7 nights with her in the underworld, but leaves without saying goodbye. Feeling betrayed, Ereshkigal demands his return, threatening to unleash the dead upon the living. Nergal returns. He storms the underworld, but instead of destroying her, he takes her hand and they agree to rule the underworld together as lovers and equals. The Akkadian version reflects a later mythological shift towards more nuanced portrayals of divine relationships, while the Sumerian version emphasizes hierarchy and order amongst the gods. Ereshkigal is the Mesopotamian queen of the dead who rules over the underworld, or Orcala, and the land of the dead. She is referred to as the queen of the great below, lady of the great place, mistress of the netherworld, lady of the great earth, she who holds the tablet of the dead, the silent one, the sister of Inanna, the irresistible one, and the unforgiving one. Her principal temple stood in Kutha, an ancient city situated in what is now modern-day Iraq. Ereshkigal reigned over the souls of the dead from her shadowy place, Ganzir, which stood at the threshold of the underworld. Its entrance was sealed by 7 formidable gates, each watched over by her loyal gatekeeper, Neti, who allowed none to pass without her command. Ereshkigal ruled over the underworld alone until Nergal, who was also known as Era, became her consort and co-ruler for half the year. Ereshkigal was one of the most feared deities in Mesopotamian pantheon, since she embodied the inevitable end, the final destination from which no soul ever returned. As queen of the underworld, her very name was a reminder that even the mightiest must one day bow to death's unyielding rule. Ereshkigal first emerges from the shadows of the myth in the Sumerian poem The Death of Ur-Nammu, which dates to around 2029 or 1982 BCE, in which she appears as a powerful figure of the underworld. By the time of the Old Babylonian period, she had already risen to prominence across Mesopotamia as the undisputed queen of the dead, a divine force both revered and feared, ruling over the silent realm beneath the earth. In the death of Ur-Nammu, Ur-Nammu dies in battle and his soul descends to the netherworld, which is ruled by Ereshkigal, the queen of the dead. The story portrays his descent as tragic and humiliating for a king who was once favored by the gods. After his descent, Ur-Nammu enters the underworld where he encounters Ereshkigal. He brings offerings to her and to other deities of the netherworld, including Nergal and Gilgamesh, who is depicted as a judge of the dead in some Mesopotamian texts. Despite his past glory, Ur-Nammu is powerless in Ereshkigal's realm, emphasizing the stark contrast between mortal greatness and the unchangeable fate of death. His arrival in the netherworld is solemn, and the text uses his fate to evoke cosmic disorder and divine judgment. Ereshkigal is most widely recognized as the sister of Inanna, or Ishtar, as she is called by the Assyrians. The descent of Inanna is one of the most famous and powerful myths from ancient Sumerian literature. It tells the story of Inanna, the goddess of love, fertility, and war, who chooses to descend into the underworld, the domain of her sister, Ereshkigal, the goddess of the dead. To truly grasp the meaning behind Inanna's descent into the underworld, you must first understand her role in one of Mesopotamia's greatest tales, the Epic of Gilgamesh. Though Gilgamesh is the story's central hero, Inanna, who's again known as Ishtar, sets a pivotal chain of events in motion. After Gilgamesh returns victorious from slaying the monster Humbaba, Inanna approaches him with a proposition. She wants him as her lover. But Gilgamesh rejects her, recalling the fates of her previous consorts, all of whom were met with disaster. Humiliated and enraged, Inanna turns to vengeance. She demands that her father, the sky god Anu, release Gugulana, the bull of heaven, and the consort and husband of her sister Ereshkigal to punish Gilgamesh. Unleashed upon the earth, the bull brings death and destruction, killing hundreds in a violent rampage across the city of Uruk. But the bull's fury is cut short. Enkidu, Gilgamesh's closest companion, joins him in slaying the divine beast. This act, however, has grave consequences. For daring to kill a sacred being, Enkidu is condemned by the gods and struck with a fatal illness. His slow, painful death devastates Gilgamesh and awakens in him a deep fear of his own mortality. This is the turning point, the death of Enkidu, which propels Gilgamesh on his epic quest for immortality and sets the stage for the deeper exploration of life, death, and the afterlife found in the myths like the descent of Inanna. Inanna descends into the underworld, the shadowy realm ruled by her sister, Ereshkigal, to attend the funeral of Gugulana, Ereshkigal's husband, whose death Inanna herself had caused. Her journey is not one of mourning, but of confrontation, reckoning, and the dangerous crossing of divine boundaries. Furious that her sister would dare trespass into the realm of the dead, Ereshkigal seethes at the news of Inanna's arrival. She commands her gatekeeper, Neti, to admit Inanna, but not without a price. At each of the seven gates of the underworld, Inanna is stripped of her royal garments and divine ornaments, piece by piece, until she stands naked and powerless before Ereshkigal's throne. There, in the heart of the great below, the Inanna, judges of the dead, deliver their silent, unyielding verdict. And the text reads, "The Inanna, the judges of the underworld, surrounded her. They passed judgment against her. Then Ereshkigal fastened on Inanna the eye of death. She spoke against her the word of wrath. She uttered against her the cry of guilt. She struck her. Inanna was turned into a corpse, a piece of rotting meat, and was hung from a hook on the wall. With no mercy, Ereshkigal strikes her sister down, and Inanna's lifeless body is hung on a hook against the wall, a grim trophy in the queen's cold domain, and a chilling symbol of death's final dominion. Inanna is a clever goddess, and eventually she is resurrected by having her consort, Dumuzi, take her place in the underworld. The ancient Mesopotamians believed that every person possessed a soul, a vital force housed within the body during life. At death, the soul departed the flesh and journeyed to the afterlife. But unlike later religious traditions that divided souls into heavens and hells based on moral deeds, the Mesopotamians saw the afterlife as a universal destination. In their view, all souls, rich or poor, noble or commoner, virtuous or wicked, were bound for the same shadowy realm beneath the earth, the underworld. This underworld realm, known as Ker or Urkala, was anything but paradise. Described in clay tablets and epic poems, it was a bleak, sunless world devoid of light, vegetation, animals, or even water. It offered no reward or punishment, only a dreary eternal existence. The dead relied on their living relatives to survive in this grim domain. Offerings of food and water left at the gravesites through solemn rituals were believed to nourish the spirits. Without them, the dead would hunger and thirst in silence. As the queen of Ker, or Urkala, Ereshkigal reigned over the shadowy realm of the dead with her primary role to watch over the souls of the dead, ensuring that they remained in the underworld and that the boundary between life and death were intact. Yet, Ereshkigal was more than a gatekeeper. She was also a guardian of funerary rites. It was her sacred duty to ensure the dead were honored with proper burials and annual rituals. And she took this responsibility so seriously that it could override her most fundamental law, the separation of the dead from the living. When rituals were neglected or improperly performed, Ereshkigal allowed the veil between the worlds to thin. The dead would return, but not as vengeful spirits, but as restless ghosts sent to confront the living. These spectral visitors served as chilling reminders that the dead relied on the living for peace in the afterlife, and that even in death, the bonds of duty and reverence could not be broken. In this way, Ereshkigal was not only a goddess of finality, but also a bridge of accountability between the two realms, demanding that the living remember, respect, and sustain those who had passed beyond. Now, there is no known iconography for Ereshkigal, or at least none universally agreed upon. The Burni relief, which is also known as the Queen of the Night, dating from Hammurabi's reign of 1792 to 1750 BC, is often represented as being Ereshkigal. In Mesopotamian belief, to create an image of somebody or something was to invite the attention of the subject. So statues of the gods were thought to house the gods themselves, and it was most likely undesirable to have an image of Ereshkigal, since she represented one's final destination from which there was no returning. So what can we learn from her stories? First and foremost, honor your ancestors. Forgetting the dead is not just a personal failing, but it's a cultural one. Memory, ritual, and connection sustain peace for both the living and the dead. Number two, respect limits. There are natural, moral, and spiritual boundaries that exist for a reason. Violating them has consequences. Number three, death is not evil. It's necessary. Ereshkigal is not malevolent. She represents the natural cycle of life where death is not punishment, but transition. Number four, even gods suffer. Ereshkigal is shown in grief and pain, especially in the descent of Inanna. Her suffering is not weakness, but a reflection of divine empathy and complexity. And number five, power can be lonely. Sovereignty often comes with emotional weight and sacrifices, especially for figures like Ereshkigal, who carry heavy cosmic duties. So as we've seen, Ereshkigal is a figure of incredible depth, embodying not just the end of life, but also the responsibilities, boundaries, and powerful forces that shape our existence. She is a goddess of death, yes, but also of accountability, of ritual, and the profound wisdom that comes with understanding the natural cycles of life. In her realm, death is not to be feared, but acknowledged, and the living have a responsibility to honor the past in order to maintain balance. In her stories, we find echoes of our own world, of the ways we deal with endings, both personal and collective, and the importance of respecting the invisible forces that hold the fabric of society together. Perhaps the question is not just what happens when we die, but also, how do we live in a way that honors the inevitable while respecting the boundaries between the worlds? So as you reflect on Ereshkigal's reign, think about your own rituals, boundaries, and the balance that you keep in your own life. What do you need to honor? What do you need to let go of, or even to protect to ensure harmony in your world? Thank you for joining me on this journey through the underworld. Until next time, may you find peace with both life and death, just as Ereshkigal herself does in her quiet, unwavering sovereignty.